And now more about the week in politics from our Friday regulars, columnists E.J. Dionne of the Washington Post and the Brookings Institution, and David Brooks of the New York Times. Hello to both of you.
Hello. Good to be with you.
And let's start with this bill that's evidently going to keep most of the government running for most of next year and the Department of Homeland Security running for the next couple of months. First, David, do you see signs this week that Democrats and or Republicans are behaving very differently?
Well, we just heard, it's like an emotional upswing. I think Elizabeth Warren owes it to us to run, not only so we can have an interesting race to cover, but there is this debate, and it has to happen. The Democratic Party has to have this debate. And if you ever doubted that Hillary Clinton is a lot more vulnerable than she looked 6 months ago or a year ago, well, this week is your illustration. She is a lot more vulnerable. If Elizabeth Warren doesn't run, somebody's going to run. The Democrats are going to have this debate. I suspect the Elizabeth Warren wing will lose, but it can't go unexpressed.
What about that, EJ? Are there divisions within the Democratic Party that they must address?
Well, the Wall Street wing isn't very big, in fact, but by definition, it has a lot of money. I think it's striking that when you look at the roll call on this budget, a little over 70% of House Democrats voted no. And I think that this bill was a real kind of punch to the solar plexus of the mainstream of the Democratic Party, not just its left wing, because you not only had the provision that began to unravel the Dodd-Frank financial reforms by allowing some taxpayer-insured funds from depositors to be invested in derivatives, which are pretty dangerous. You also had this amazing provision that kind of blew apart what little campaign finance law we have left and would allow a couple to give up to $3 million over an election cycle to a party. Chris Van Hollen, who's a pretty mainstream guy, said, you know, you've got the quid and the quo in one bill. And so I think a lot of Democrats were very upset that this got snuck into a bill where Democrats had already compromised and given a lot of ground on spending.
David, how would you describe President Obama's handling of it?
I thought it was deft. You know, the center sort of held here. You know, the left and right flaked off, and you had a centrist form of government, which is something we haven't seen anymore. So some people think, this shows how rotten it is that we can't compromise. In fact, they compromised. They passed a bill. I mean, they're probably about to pass a bill. If I could just say, there's no Wall Street wing of the Democratic Party. I wish there was, but there isn't. The difference is, like on the Tea Party versus the mainstream Republicans or whatever you want to call them, it's an attitude. The people like Obama who supported this thing were thinking very practically, things are going to get a lot worse next Congress, let's do it now. The people who voted against, they may not even be ideologically different, but they said, let's take a stand so we can fight the long fight. And so it's a more practical matter, which is the Boehner model, versus a more let's take a stand, which is the Tea Party Warren model.
And in this case, I actually think President Obama made a mistake. At least he made a mistake by not even giving the forces in the House a chance, the progressive and moderate forces who said, we got to get this junk out of the spending bill. And almost right out of the box, he said, no, the White House is, we don't like these provisions either, by the way, but we think this bill should pass. And I think there are going to be repercussions. And I think the president is going to have to recalibrate how he deals with Congress in the last 2 years.
Okay, next topic, the Senate Intelligence Report on CIA interrogations. Although most Republicans denounced its release as a partisan Democratic gesture, Senator John McCain arose on the floor of the Senate to speak in support of it.
I have long believed some of these practices amounted to torture, as a reasonable person would define it, especially, but not only, the practice of waterboarding, which is a mock execution and an exquisite form of torture.
And McCain, who was a torture victim as a POW in Vietnam, noted that such methods did little to gain useful intelligence. On that score, CIA Director John Brennan ventured no judgment and spoke not of torture, but of the Program of Enhanced Interrogation Techniques, EITs.
We have not concluded that it was the use of EITs within that program that allowed us to obtain useful information from detainees subjected to them. The cause and effect relationship between the use of EITs and useful information subsequently provided by the detainee is, in my view, unknowable.
David Brooks, was the release of that report useful? Was that straight talk from John McCain about torture?
The release was useful. In part, this is one of those moments where you got to read George Orwell's essay, Politics in the English Language. What we've heard a lot of, especially from Brennan, was false abstraction, abstracting us away from what was actually happening. And what the attempt to do that is to distance ourselves from our own moral sentiments. And those of us who, you know, have read about what actually happened, the moral sentiments are aroused, and they're one of abhorrence. And so I have four basic positions. One, we should not torture for the moral abhorrence reasons. As to whether McCain's right or wrong about whether it produces actionable intelligence, I think we should be agnostic about that. I really don't think we know. Third, I do think the report was too partisan, too prosecutorial, just written by Democratic staffers. They should have talked to the people involved. The lack of interviewing, to me, is a grave weakness in the report. And finally, they did whitewash Congress. Congress heard, we think Congress heard a lot about this stuff at the time and did not object. We don't know that for sure, but there was some whitewashing of what Congress's role in all this.
EJ?
I want to identify totally with David on the Orwellian part. You talk about a euphemism for euphemism. Enhanced interrogation techniques is already a euphemism, and then you turn it into an acronym. And there was just something really chilling about that, I thought. I thought this was a very useful report, and I really admire John McCain for trying to get us out of a partisan reaction to this. He said we gave up too much in the expectation that torture would make us safer. We gave up much, too much, he said. Mm-hmm. And I don't think we have evidence that the torture provided this information. Even Mr. Brennan himself said it was uncertain. Yeah. So we're going to put our moral principles at risk, do these terrible things, and we're not even sure at the end that we got useful intelligence, even from his point of view.
In the minute that remains, I want to ask you about something that deserves more than a minute's discussion. There's going to be a rally, Justice for All, in Washington this weekend. It's a response to the deaths of black men at the hands of the police and the lack of police prosecutions. David, do you think we're witnessing a movement that's growing up around these events, or is there a new crisis in police community relations?
Well, I hope we get to a solution to police community relations. You know, I obviously am abhorred by what happened, especially in Staten Island, but I do have some sympathy for the cops who are just put in these miserable conditions and have to make split-second decisions in moments of complete emotional turmoil and feelings of endangerment. And so what needs to happen, what seems to me can happen, is a depassioning of this debate and actually finding a way where cops and communities can get closer together.
I think that this is the beginning of a new movement. I particularly think that the Eric Garner case grabbed the attention of people across a very broad spectrum. That just seemed wrong to a lot of people.
EJ Dionne, David Brooks, thanks to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.